Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think I could do three complete sermons on this text, but I'm going to try to keep it concise and focused into one area. But introduce it. I bring you into the life of a young boy who is about to have a birthday. And for his birthday, he wanted one and only one thing, and he had made it very well known to his family of what that just one thing was. What did he want but a PlayStation 4 video game system? This boy loved playing video games, and that was his dream. That was the only thing he wanted for his birthday, and this is what he expected to get for his birthday because his family knew just how badly he wanted it. So the day of his birthday comes, and it's time for his present, and one of his relatives hands him a box that's wrapped so pretty, and it's just the shape and just the size to be able to be a PlayStation 4. And he's shaken with excitement, and he tears it open, and he starts dancing and screaming and joying, like almost crying, because what's inside but a PlayStation 4? And he just cannot contain himself. I mean, and his family is just laughing at how excited this boy is. So he opens the box, and his face just drops, and he almost hits the floor. Because what's inside? Not a PlayStation 4, a bunch of old books. He can't believe it. He thought it was the PlayStation 4. He thought he had gotten just what he expected, just what he dreamed of, just what he wanted, and old books instead. He cannot believe his eyes, and you cannot imagine the heartbreak of this little boy. Well, a family member comes out with a second present, wrapped so nicely, same size, same shape. He's not shaken with joy this time. His face is very skeptical because he's learned, don't trust the shape, don't trust the size, don't trust your family after the first experience, right? So he doesn't rip it quickly this time. Slowly he opens the paper, and what's inside? A PlayStation 4. Again, not dancing, not screaming, not jumping up and down, heart's not racing. He's not so sure about this one. Slowly he pulls the clear plastic sticker off, slowly opens the tab, slowly lifts the lid, almost not wanting to look, right? Not wanting the heartbreak of disappointment a second time. And as he finally looks, kind of like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory opened that candy bar, right? Looks inside, and what do you know? A PlayStation 4. Shoo! Had to be a happy ending, because after watching this whole video, if it wasn't, I was going to hunt that family down, and wasn't going to be pretty. But here he got it. So dancing and screaming and all that once again. His dream and his expectation was fulfilled. See, here's the thing about expectations. There's two possibilities, right? Either your expectation is fulfilled and you're happy, or your expectation isn't, and you're disappointed. This morning I want to talk about giving up expectations, because I think that there's a better option and a better way for us to live than this life of expectations with fulfillments and disappointments like we saw in this little boy. And to do so, we look at the story of Nicodemus, one of the leaders, the teachers of the law, somebody who had all of the knowledge, all of the information possible, at least that he thought about God. And so here Nicodemus comes in the dark of night. And why do you go in the dark of night? Because you don't want people to see you, right? He didn't want people to see him approaching and talking to Jesus. He wanted to stay in that darkness. He wanted the security. He wanted the secrecy. He wanted the silence. And he comes to Jesus. And with that Pharisee knowledge, he tells Jesus, I know that you are from God. I've seen the signs. I've seen the wonders. I've seen what you've done. And I know you come from God. All that knowledge, all that logic. And he says, I've got it figured out. And what does Jesus do? Tells him, you haven't figured anything out. What does he do? Jesus baffles him. All right, you've got all this knowledge. You believe you know who I am. But if you truly want to know who I am and be with me, you must be born again. At least that's the way Nicodemus hears it. Jesus is one that loves to play with words, loves to baffle people, loves to speak in such a way that those who aren't supposed to understand don't. And this word that comes at the end, born again, is a word that could be understood one of two ways. And one way is again. And that's how Nicodemus hears it, to be born again. But another way to hear and understand this word is to be born from above, the way that Jesus truly meant it. To be born from above, to be born of God, to be born of the Holy Spirit. But you see, Nicodemus's knowledge, Nicodemus's logic, Nicodemus's time in his head was preventing him from understanding what Jesus was saying, because he had the knowledge, but not the faith. For example, let's think of this. If I decided to take up sailing, which I'm never gonna do, but it's a great example. If I'm gonna take up sailing, I'm gonna pick up the books, I'm gonna read everything I can about sailboats and sailing, and what all of the ropes do, and how I hoist the mast and the sail, and how I take it down, and how to capture the wind. I'm gonna learn about all of the places that I should go, and all of the things that I should do, and I'm gonna fill my head with every bit of knowledge that I can. I'd probably even spend time on YouTube watching videos to see just how it is that I do it, how I be a successful sailor. But what is all of that knowledge if I never step into a sailboat? If I never go out on the water? If I never feel the ebb and flow of the boat? If I never hoist that sail and feel what happens when the wind catches it and moves the boat? What is it if I never experience the wind in my face and the mist of the sea? What is it if I never leave the shore? This is Nicodemus. He's gotten all the knowledge. He's got all the information. He's downloaded it from the scriptures into his head. But he has none of the experience of faith that allows him to understand truly who Jesus is and what he is saying that would change his life forever. Part of how we do this, to get from knowledge to faith, is by giving up expectations. See, Nicodemus had expectations of what Jesus was going to say, had expectations of how the conversation was gonna go, had expectations of who God was, and walked away disappointed and confused. But what if he gave up expectation and instead embraced anticipation? What happens when we enter life and experiences and situations with experience instead of expectation? We walk in waiting to see what happens. We walk in with our eyes and our hearts open, ready for something to happen. I'll tell you about my first appointment. It was a hard appointment. It was 2 difficult years as a brand new, very green, very young, still in seminary pastor, and a congregation that was grouchy and had turned hard-hearted and wasn't ready to change, grow, or invite new people in. They were taking it out on me, that they were feeling like they had lost what they loved, and it was 2 hard years. It was coming to the end of the second year, just a week left in the appointment year, and I figured I was gonna have another year with them. And all of a sudden, at the beginning of the week, I get a call from my district superintendent, and he says, start packing your office, tell nobody, but clear it out. I've got an introduction with an SPRC at a new church for you on Saturday. I'll see you there. All right, week left in the appointment, and I'm gonna spend it packing, telling no one goodbye, and I have no idea what Saturday's gonna be. This church didn't have a website. They didn't have social media. There was nothing I could look at to find out about who they were, what they did, what kind of a church it was. So I walked into that Saturday meeting with no expectations because I had nothing to base it off of. So I walked in open to hear what was going on. Saturday, I was introduced to a group of 8 leaders in the church. Didn't even have time for a tour of the church. So Sunday, less than 24 hours later, I walked into worship to see the sanctuary for the first time and most of the congregation. Kylie had just turned 1. I had her in my arms, and they had a guest preacher planned, so I got to sit in worship. I walked in not with expectations, but I walked in with anticipation of wondering what was going to happen and what this new appointment was going to be like. I sat down in worship, sitting in the very back, because y'all, that's where I sit. And a praise team got up, and they started to sing, because this is how they started all their services. And the first song they sang was a camp classic called All in All. I loved singing this song at camp. And taking me to camp took me to my safe place, my second home, a place where I always felt comfortable. And what happened in that song was God collided with me. God told me, you're home, you're safe, be comfortable, I'm here with you. You've been through the storm for 2 years, but your feet are on solid ground now. And I started to cry. And that's a big deal because, y'all, I don't cry. But I sat in the back of the church, Kylie on my lap, crying because of God being there with me and knowing that God had put me in a good place. And I did have 7 wonderful years at San Jacinto, and I was blessed by those people and blessed by that church and blessed by the ministry that we did there and blessed by God, who constantly reassured me on those tough days that he was there with me. When we walk in with anticipation instead of expectation, we open ourselves to be able to experience the wonder and awe of God. To not walk in predicting whether God will be there or not, predicting what will happen, but being ready to see what God has for us. And how does this come? Through the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about. Born from again meant born of the Holy Spirit. embracing the Holy Spirit and allowing it to fill us, allowing it to control us, allowing it to guide us, allowing it to lift us up off our feet and to move us in the direction that God has designed for us. Nicodemus, with all that knowledge, with all that expectation, was blocked to the Spirit. He couldn't take it into his heart. He couldn't be that born from above, and he walked away with disappointment. But here we are, with God offering the gift of the Spirit, saying, take it, embrace it, and allow it to open your eyes to the wonder and majesty of God that is all around you. To see it in the moments, to experience it in our lives, to walk out our door and see the hope that is there because of God's presence, because of God's interaction with us, because of God who is constantly surrounding us. To not be like Nicodemus, that was missing out on what was right in front of him in Jesus Christ, but being able to experience Christ in the fullness and to see what comes at the end of this passage. The scripture that is the most known, the scripture that is held up at ball games and sporting events, John 3:16, that reminds us that God so loved the world that he gave his son. God so loves us that he gave us Christ. And verse 17 tells us that he gave us Christ not to condemn us, but to give us life. And that life is not what comes after this, but that life that begins when we accept Christ, when we embrace the Spirit, and when we let the Spirit change how we live, how we see, and how we experience God in our lives and all around us. It's like changing out that lens, like I said with the kids. Think about it in another way. If you've ever bought a new car, any of you ever bought a new car, whether it was used or new, what happens? You buy a new car and then you see it everywhere, right? It seems like every other person has the same car as you, and it gives you excitement to see you're popular with this car, right? Because they're everywhere. And before you bought it, before you researched it, before you looked at it, you weren't seeing them. But all of a sudden, you see them everywhere. Why? Because your eyes are tuned to see them. Because of the interest that you have in it. How do we allow the Spirit to do the same thing? That our interest in the Spirit, our love for God, and our embracing of Christ as a Savior, to tune our eyes to see God all around us and to see the miracles and wonders that are happening constantly and infinitely. And my friends, it will change you. So on this day, let us give up living with expectations that can lead to disappointments, and let's start living with anticipation and allowing God to live with us in wonder and awe. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we admit we do have expectations. We admit that we do have what we desire, what we hope for, what we predict will be happening. But we ask that in this Lenten journey, as we travel from Ash Wednesday to Easter, that you help us to give up our expectations, our prescriptions for how we believe our day should go and our life should be experienced. And instead, through your Holy Spirit that is within us, to be able to embrace anticipation, to see that the miracles did not end when Jesus ascended into heaven, but they continued infinitely and are happening all around us. With anticipation, may we open our eyes to see the wonder of your presence and your interactions with our world all around us. And as we see them, may we give you our praise, our glory, and all of our life to be changed through you, changed for the better, changed in such a way that can come from no other. For this we pray in your most holy name. Amen.